me. God, you know, as we sing those words, that's what we've been praying for each of these last few weeks, God, that you would awaken our souls. You would help our hearts to be more in sync with your heart. And for many of us, God, we've taken steps incrementally closer to the center of your dream for this community. And God, today I'm going to ask that you would you just continue to draw us into that, God. I know that there's probably some of us that are still on the outside looking in and saying, God, what is my role in this? And as we paint some pictures or some stories today, God, we are just amazed at what you're doing. You have this crazy, crazy dream for this young toddler community known as Cross Point, God. And it is just an honor and privilege that we get to be a part of what you're doing right now. So God, we just ask that you'd speak to us, you'd move in this place in these next few minutes. It's in your name and character we pray. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat where you're at. It's great to have you here today on this Memorial Day weekend. And when you came in today, but real quickly, you received a weekly. Go ahead and take that out. And inside is a connection card that looks like this. There's a pin near you. Go ahead and pick your pin up. Begin filling this out. If you're a partner or a regular attender, all we need is your name and any information that's changed. And if you're a guest today, we just want to say welcome. We are glad you're here. We're glad that you've taken a little over an hour out of your weekend to be here at Cross Point. And we believe that when you walk in these doors, God has something he wants to say to you. You know, we're all at different places in our spiritual orientation. What we're looking for is we're exploring, and yet God meets every one of us where we are. That's just the kind of thing that God does. So we invite you to fill this out as well. If you're a guest with us, we would love as much information as you're comfortable sharing with us. And we'd love to know if it's your first time with us, second time. And then there's a question at the bottom that says, how did you hear about Cross Point? We're always intrigued to hear about how you stumbled across this community. And so if you don't mind filling those out, and you can place them in a box near the back near the end of the service, and we'll give you more instruction on that later. So we're in this crazy, crazy journey right now. We're in week number 7, and we're kind of heading down the home stretch right now. I mean, we're kind of wrapping this thing up. For the last 6 weeks, we've been preparing this community to take this big step of moving out of this facility, this place where we kind of birthed and began, and moving into a real home for real people. God has this crazy dream for us to take a step to this next ministry tool, in a sense a launch pad, that will allow us to have greater impact, greater life change in this community as we share the message of Christ and what it means to follow him. And so, this is one of the most important journeys that Cross Point's ever been on. We take journeys 2 times a year, and it's times when the whole Cross Point community gets on the same page, and we weekend services lead to some journaling through the week, and then we get together in groups throughout the week. Everybody's processing the same stuff. Our kids are processing the same stuff. But even though we do this twice a year and they're important times, this is the most significant journey that Cross Point's ever been on, because this journey, what happens next weekend, will define the next stint, the next run of Cross Point's existence, and the way that this community continues to touch lives of people in our all around us. I mean, that's all that this is about, and we believe God has a unique plan for this young community. So you have been really clear each week that, one of my objectives, one of our leadership's objectives, is bringing each of us to a place where you can make a generous, sacrificial financial commitment next weekend, a 3-year commitment over the course of 3 years, saying, hey, this is what I or me and my family have come to, saying this is what we can sacrificially give that will help us fuel this great thing that God is doing here. And, and for many of us, we've been preparing for that. I mean, we've been processing this. I'm humbled at the stories of how many of you just keep coming up to me saying, hey, here's what we're doing. When you said this, or when we heard this, this is what God's led us to. And I'll be honest with you, I am just absolutely humbled. In fact, there's times where I'm like, man, did we push too hard? Did we go too hard at money? Because we've been going after money really hard, because we realize that money is an indicator. And really what we've been doing is we've been planting seeds each of the last 6 weeks. We've been looking at things like trust and what's your ultimate priority, and what does it really mean to sacrifice, and do I really understand that everything I own is a gift from God? I'm just a resource manager, and what does it mean for me to resource manage that for maximum impact? And it's just been an amazing, amazing journey over these last few weeks, and it's been humbling for me to be in my role and to hear these many stories. And so it's kind of cool, because when we started this journey for our leadership team, we began a number of months ago. In fact, for our finance team, as we began to get a vision of what we believe God wanted to do through this journey experience, we realized that we wanted to do more than just raise some money. And we want to do more than just raising $500,000 to build a building, because a building is not our ultimate goal. It's just a tool that allows us to continue to do what we're doing in increased ways. But what we realize is we believe God wanted to take this community through a journey, through a process of shaping us, of forming us, of helping us, in a sense, gain ownership in what God is doing as we take this next step. In fact, the consultant we met with from Enjoy Stewardship Services, has been just a great coach for me and for us as we have navigated how do we help this community go through this process of buying and owning this step that we believe God is doing here. He said, Curry, if we get to the end of this journey and all we can say is, look how much money we raised, then he said, we will have failed you. He said, but if we get to the end of this journey and we say, wow, look what God has done and look how we've changed. They said, man, we just knocked it out of the park. And so it's so cool to hear how God is changing hearts, how he's changing lives. I mean, we have people that have been through these before in other churches. And they're like, man, we hate them. We know we have to do them. But they're like, man, this is different. For some reason, this journey's been different. We have people that are newer to Crosspoint, newer to their relationship with God, that have just invested in at huge levels that show me that there's indication, man, hearts have been changed by this place. And it's just exciting to see how that happens. So today, we're gonna share some of those stories. We've planted seeds for the last 6 weeks. And it's up to you and God how you respond to those seeds. If you're going to allow the seeds of trusting more, sacrificing more, of saying, what does it mean for me to make God more of a priority in my life? It's up to you and God how you're going to allow those to take root. But we're going to begin kind of celebrating today. It's going to continue into next weekend, commitment weekend, celebration weekend. And we just want you to hear some of the stories of what God's been doing. Some really cool stories, how God has worked in individuals and families' lives. And also kind of give pictures. If you're still wrestling through how can I be a part of this, you'll see some pictures of how this has happened in other lives. So I want you to first meet Chris and Jelaine Sparrow. You guys want to come up and join me here? Welcome. Great to have you guys here today. This is Chris and Jelaine, and if you don't know Chris and Jelaine, then you must have came through the back door, because Jelaine is always at the front door, often at the front door, and Chris often has your kids back in Upstreet, one of our storytellers, among other things here. But Chris and Jelaine joined us early on, before Crosspoint ever opened their doors in this location. They joined our launch team and just caught a vision of what God wanted to do through this community and how their lives were syncing up, in a sense, and with where Crosspoint was, at least the dream of what Crosspoint was going to be. And so you've been with us since the beginning, so I know if you guys, it's exciting to see after all the sweat and hard work of setting environments up every week that we're moving into a real home. But it's amazing to me, because even somebody that just been passionately following God, God's been doing some change in you guys and really been growing you guys through this journey. And so just give us a picture of how that kind of began a few weeks ago as we started this crazy journey.
Well, when we first heard about the journey, or when I first heard about it, we're in a meeting talking about it, and almost immediately, God put a number on my heart, and it was a big number. It was a scary big number, and so I'm like going, okay, well, yeah, whatever, and kind of shoved it aside a little bit and everything. And then I slept on it and kind of went through the week after that, and Jelaine and I were so excited, because we knew this was part of the dream. This has always been part of the vision. We knew that it was going to happen at some time, but we didn't know exactly when. We just knew that this was going to happen, that we're going to have to do this. And so we were very excited about the fact that it's going to. And so we're talking about the journey. We're talking about, you know, how cool it's going to be. But we didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about the money. All right?
And we never talk about the money. It's the point that even in couples, we don't like talking about
it. So we're kind of, and I'm kind of like waiting for her to say something. And I think she's kind of waiting for me to say something. And so then finally, I was like, well, you know, we got to talk about this. And so I said, you know, what are you thinking? And then she's like, well, what are you thinking? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking this. And she was like, okay. I'm like, no, that's actually the wrong answer.
You were looking for her to tell you no, right?
Yeah, I was looking for no. You're nuts. No, that's not going to happen. But no, she was on board. So then we had to sit and say, okay, well, how are we going to do that? And we had to look at the resources we had and our unique situation and pull things together so that we could sit there and say, yeah, we can do this. We can make this kind of commitment. And, you know, it means some sacrifice in us. It means, you know, I'm not getting my car fixed. I'm not getting a new car. But we can do this, and we're going to do this. And that's what's the number that's going to be on our pledge card.
Yeah, and something cool is, I was talking to Chris and Jelaine a while back, is, I mean, you guys even have some personal dreams that you're pursuing right now. I mean, in a sense, you had to say, you know, we want to pursue these too, but now you're conflicted with this. What does this look like for us?
Well, and part of that is how I've changed with this journey is, when I look at the dreams I've had, and I've had some dreams for a while, and they're big, but it makes me realize that it's not my dream, it's God's dream, and it's not me to do, it's for me to get other people to do with me, and that's what this dream is. This is a dream where we together can make this happen. It's not what we're going to give. It's not what you're going to give. It's not the little work that you're going to do, whatever work it is. It's us together. That's what it's about. It's not about the money. It's not about anything other than us doing things together for God.
Yeah. So, Julian, how did you respond to that? I mean, I know there was probably a little more processing than just, wow, that sounds great, Chris. I'm excited we're going to give so much money away.
I knew that God had placed that on his heart. And usually in our marriage, God speaks to me first. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time he had actually spoken to Chris and was very clear with an amount. So that was different for us. But I knew that God had done it because of the way Chris responded. Yeah. And we just knew we had to do it. We've done this so many times now where God has asked us. And, you know, at first we were a little slow on the draw and thought, oh, we can wait and not do what he says. But we're over that now. And when God calls you and asks you to do something, you must respond immediately. That's all I can say. He is very clear mm-hmm. with each of us. And we all have a different piece we're supposed to give. And if we do not give it, he will make it happen in another way. I have several friends that we've witnessed to, and they literally in the last couple weeks have come and said, wow, you remember when you told us to go do this? You thought God wanted us to do that. He's redirected it. It took him 2 years to get to that point, wow. But it happens all the time. So you really just need to talk to God and ask him what part you're supposed to do. Yeah.
And, you know, what's really cool is, you know, you guys did that and you came to that number. And you know, the number isn't significant. What's significant is that this is what God asked you to do. We're following what God asked us to do. Mm-hmm. And then you guys, you know, what's really cool about Chris and Jelaine, if you have kids in Upstreet, in preschool room, in Area 56, your kids have been tracking on this journey as well. We've been teaching them what it means to save, to spend, to give, and even giving them little banks so they can begin learning that and understanding that. But you guys processed that with your kids at your house as well. I mean, you sat them down, and in fact, they sat you down. Really, I mean, help us get a picture of how you did that, because you're developing a culture in your family of what it means to invest in what God's doing.
When and Julie and I were talking about, you know, the fact that we're going to be getting a building and doing this, and we've been talking about it, and there's been so much excitement. There's excitement here. If you haven't noticed, there's a lot of excitement here in the building, and there was excitement at home, and so the kids are like, "What is going on?" And so we sat them down at lunch after church and said, you know, hey, this is what's going to happen, and you know, we're raising money. We're going to be building out a building out across from the mall, and you know, this is really cool. And they're like, well, how can we be a part of that? We want to be a part of that. Can we be a part of that? And so we're like, yeah, you can. And so they're like, well, you know, they earn money during the summer. We have them do some yard work and things like that. So instead of getting allowance, they actually earn some money. And so they're like, well, how much money are we going to earn this summer? So we sat down and figured out how much it was going to be, and they're like, well, this is how much I want to give. And what was really kind of cool about it is the number they came up with, and they said, this is how much we want to give, and then they're like, well, how much does the Bible say we should give? And we said, well, you know, the Bible says you should tithe, which means 10%. And what was cool was the number that they came up with was 10%, just off the top of their head. And so we'd sat them down and talked about that, and we kind of had to figure out some logistics, and a couple things came out of that. Well, Rhea said, well, 10%, that's not enough. That's kind of bogus. What's God thinking? You know, it needs to be more than that. So she wanted to give more, and so she did. And then Ben, who's my eldest son, said, well, you guys just don't pay me until you come up to that number. So he gave his first fruits.
Mm, wow.
All right. So, you know, they're doing what God wants. We just have to, and that's part of what we're doing here is teaching the kids to understand what God wants them to do and to listen to God so that they can do it.
Yeah, awesome.
Oh, and then Rhea stopped us afterwards after the other kids left, and she said she had a question. And one of the things that we decided as a family to do is to put our kids into Christian school. We did that about 3 years ago, and the kids love their school. All the kids love their school, whatever school they're going to. And so she asked us, she goes, well, I know that God's asking us to sacrifice. And does that mean that we have to give up our school? And we said, no, that we didn't think that that's what God was asking for us to do, and that, in fact, we would try to do sacrifice everything else other than that. Yeah. So, but again, it's just... It was important for her to know that this is sacrifice and that can mean big things. Things are very important to them.
Right. Well, one of the really cool things we've talked about is sacrificing is saying, yeah, I'm going to give up something I love for something I love more. And it's just become very evident as you've helped, as you guys have worked through that, but as you've walked your kids through, what does it mean for us to invest in something, which usually means giving a few things up that we love. I know there's got to be some cool story, because if you know Jelaine and Chris, they have always really cool interactions. I've never met somebody that comes up with these crazy, crazy stories as they do, but anything cool that's come out of this as you've been sharing with others outside of Crosspoint, ways you've impacted the community?
Yeah, I at the very beginning of the crazy journey, had a coworker come into my office, and I know a lot of you know I have a lot of energy in general, especially for God, and I was just very high that day, and he stopped by and wanted to know why I was higher than normal. In a very good way. And I just told him it was about the journey. I just know this is what God wants us to do. And so I was explaining what was happening here at Crosspoint and that God's going to be penetrating the Fishers community and that we've been invited to participate. The coworker looked at me and said, well, I've never shared with you, but I am actually, and I told him I was studying on stewardship to make sure I was prepared for what we were going to be asked to do. And he said, I've never shared with you, but I am the stewardship chair at my church, and God has given me a vision, and I have not acted on it. And I said, you know, it's like I said earlier, you must act immediately when he calls on you. And I said, you need to go do that. So he left my office, and he came back a few weeks ago and said that he had gone to his church, received a privilege of going ahead and setting up a three-week over and above campaign at their church, and what they needed to do was replace all their tables and chairs in their church. The day he was talking to me, they were 2 weeks into it, and they had been completely funded already. Awesome. So he obviously followed through with what God wanted. The thing I thought was so interesting is he had been called the very first day of the campaign, and a gentleman asked if he could write a check for the entire amount. And my friend thanked him, and he declined. And he said, it is not about the money. It's not about the tables and chairs. It's God wanting each of us to participate and love him back. And he said, that is the way we're going to do it. I am not going to have one person fund it. So anyway, they ended up, you know, obeying, listening, doing it. And the neatest part is he said they were also energized because God gave them the pure joy of serving him. And I think that is what is happening here at Crosspoint, and it happens every day.
Yeah. Thank you, Jelaine. Let's give it for Chris and Jelaine. Thank you guys for obeying. You know, for many of us, what's really cool is this journey is not just about the money. We've said that every week. I mean, God's doing something more. I mean, he's really, in a sense, I mean, the story Jelaine told, what's happened with Chris and Jelaine and their family, is God's creating a sense of ownership. He's saying, hey, I want you to be a part of this. You know, as Jelaine just shared, I mean, God could easily just reach down and fund this whole thing. I mean, if he wanted to, his resources are limitless, but what he chooses to do is he says, I want to take my people. I want my people to be a part of this thing that I do in the world. And he invites us to join it, and then he shapes us, and he shapes our hearts, and he literally changes our lives as we go through this. And you know, he engages. I mean, one of the things I've been learning is what it means to trust more, what it means to sacrifice more. Even though I've been planting those seeds with you, I've been learning what that means for my life as well. What does it mean for me to be a better resource manager for maximum impact? I mean, there's just some of the things that God's been shaping and forming in us as we've wrestled through what our part is in this. So the next couple I want you to meet, another really cool story, is John and Kristen Madej. John and Kristen. Welcome, great to see you guys today. If you don't know John and Kristen, these are really cool people because, one, because they live in my neighborhood, and two, because, you know, these guys are local missionaries, which means, you know, when you think of missions, you think of, like, sleeping under in a hut someplace out in the outback, eating bugs, you know, drinking muddy water. I mean, you know, these guys get to sleep in their own beds. I guess it's your own bed wherever you're at, but you get to sleep in their own beds in my neighborhood, and but they're missionaries. And so, you know, it's really kind of unique, their story, because, you know, so many times we think, well, you know, there's nothing I can do. I don't have much, and so talk a little bit about what you guys do first, and then we'll talk about what God's been doing in your life. So share with us just how you're missionaries and what that looks like for you.
We're on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. It's a college-focused ministry, and just as Crosspoint does ministry here in the community, our community is the college campus. We work here. We have a regional headquarters here in Indianapolis, And we help serve a number of the different teams that we have on the Big Ten schools, MAC schools, some of the metro areas in the area. And a lot of what we do, we sum it up, we call it really simple. We like to keep, you know, we're all about acronyms with Campus Crusade for Christ. CCC is what we often call ourselves. But we say win, build, send. What does that mean? It means winning students to Christ, building them up in their faith, and then sending them. And in sending them, sending them back into their vocation, into their churches, or even out in the mission field. And I always love to share the story about my first day on campus at Eastern Michigan many, many moons ago. What we usually do the first week of school is we usually target the freshman dorms and do some spiritual interest surveys. So we spend the first two or three days, we try to raffle off something fun. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was a TV or something. You know, it'd be cool if you're a freshman and get a free TV. So a lot of takers on that. And the survey just walks through, you know, what's your spiritual, you know, your level of spiritual interest. Are you interested in a Bible study? You know, would you like to know more about how to have a relationship with God? So, you know, my third day on campus, I get my surveys and go to the dorm that I've been kind of given to kind of oversee. And first door I knock on, met a young student by the name of Mike Case. And Mike and I sat down for the next hour and a half, and I walked him through the gospel and then how he could become a follower of Jesus. And just the energy from that was just incredible, just watching someone make that decision to become a follower of Jesus. And what was exciting about Mike is he was on the tennis team, and one of the guys on my staff team worked with a lot of athletes. So Mike was able to get plugged into a Bible study with other athletes, and he was a part of a community to do ministry on campus for his 4 years at Eastern Michigan.
You know, and what's unique with being in ministry, I mean, similar to what I shared a couple weeks ago, you know, when you're in ministry, I mean, you're not making the big bucks. I mean, you live off a modest salary. You guys live off a modest salary. In fact, as missionaries, they raise all of your own funding, right? I mean, all of your funding, and it's only what you need. You kind of come up with a number and say, here's what we, at the bottom line, bottom dollar need in order to basically survive. And so so you live on a modest income, and so I know coming into this journey, is probably others, you know, even the crowd today are saying, well, I, that's where I'm at. I mean, how can I even give when I live so modestly? And yet you guys have kind of wrestled through, and God's began to reveal some of that to you. How's that kind of worked itself out?
We've really enjoyed the journey in that aspect, because being in full-time ministry, we are self-funded. We have a number of friends, family, and churches that give on a monthly basis that basically provides for our salary. And as we sat down to walk, you know, as we walk through this, this summer, usually we're traveling somewhere in the summer. However, you know, we're at home this summer doing some fundraising. We've had some people come off our team due to the economy. We've not adjusted our salary for the cost of living increases over the last 7 years. So we're really working at pursuing that. And what we wanted to do is we said, Lord, this is what we need to raise to be in a good place, to be able to just provide for ourselves based on need. And we said, you know, let's tithe now. Let's make our first commitment to the build campaign to say we're going to tithe off the amount that we need. Even though we don't have it, it's going to say, Lord, we're going to trust you to provide for us. Mm-hmm. In 2003, we did this. We were doing some fundraising back then, and we said, let's commit more. One of us read an article. I forget. I wish I could have found it. It was a great article about if you need to trust more, trust God more, give more and see what he does in response. And we've been through a lot over the last couple of years. I went through cancer, which was, you know, a lot of medical expenses. These people, you know, people provide, and God works in their lives for them to provide for us, and we're very taken care of. And so the thing we've really enjoyed about the journey is it's brought us back to that place where we can walk by faith and trust God. And being in full-time mission, you know, being full-time ministry, sometimes it does feel like a job, but it's moments like these where it's like, you know, I'm walking by faith and trusting God for more.
And what's really cool is, you know, it just so you know, I mean, to kind of capture this, you know, Kristen and John invest in Crosspoint. You guys tithe off what you make, but you're basically saying, we have some additional needs. We're going to begin to give off of that before it even comes in. I mean, so you're trusting God. If God doesn't show up in your lives this summer as you're fundraising, then you're kind of screwed. I mean, that's basically what we're saying, right? I mean, and we're saying, you know, trust is really believing in something before it comes about. And so it's really cool. Now, Kristen, I know for you, I mean, this whole idea of sacrifice, when you're in ministry, you feel like, you know, I'm already sacrificed. I'm living modestly, which is my sacrifice. I could do more, and yet we're asking you to sacrifice more. Talk to us about how that set a little bit.
Going through the prayer journey and through the, for the crazy journey was real interesting, because I would sit there and I would think, you know, God, I'm already serving you. You've called me into ministry. We're doing this. We're raising our own funds. What else can there be that you want me to sacrifice? And I didn't know if, do I need to sacrifice? Do I not need to sacrifice? And in our ministry, we don't get a pay raise. We kind of joke and say, oh, hey, great job you did on that. Go give yourself a raise. And that means go raise some more money, because that's the only way you get a raise. And so we looked at what we need and what our goal for our funding needs to be. And I knew we needed to raise some. That's not a big surprise. And said, okay, we can do that. That's no problem. I can make some calls. He can make some calls. We can get there. But then when we went through the financial seminar and looked at our budget and looked at our needs and realized it was really double what I thought it was going to be, and then I was like, oh, okay, God, I need you to raise this. I can't do this anymore. There's not enough in me to get this to happen. So I really need to trust you in the midst of this. And that's where really looking at that and saying, we're going to sacrifice on what we want to give and what we want to have come in, and really trust God in the midst of that, because it's not a simple thing. It's not an easy matter.
Well, what's really cool is, you know, it's one thing to trust God for providing for your resources. It's another thing when you're saying, God, not only are we providing for us, but we're trying to give something beyond, and we're going to have to trust you for both.
And we're excited about what this church is about, because that's what our ministry is about. It's about changing lives, and that's what CrossPoint is.
Exactly.
And for us to give to that is who we are. It's a part of us.
Awesome. Thanks for being that kind of people. We appreciate it. Yeah, there's just cool stuff going on. I mean, these are just a couple of the stories. I mean, that have different paths we've crossed and we've heard. And you know, the last story I want to share with you is another cool. I mean, it's similar to Chris and Jelaine sharing about what their kids did. And this is a different family. Because, you know, I don't know if anything will make God smile more than when kids begin to take a step and invest in this crazy thing. I mean, because then, for them, I mean, for us, you know, we have other responsibilities, financial responsibilities as adults to pay for. But kids, man, they go all out. And so, you know, last week, a student, a third grader, turned in a card. And it came through the joy box. It came through the box. And it was cool, because when I read it, I looked at it, and I was like, you know, I don't know if this is a real card. I mean, was there some kid that was just bored when Kurt was up talking, and he started filling this thing out, and, you know, he wrote some bogus number down on the three-year commitment page, and so later in the week, I followed up with his parents, and I said, is this $936 for real? And $936 over 3 years, and they said, well, yeah, actually it is, and then here's what the dad said. The dad wrote me an email back, and he said, okay, here, in my opinion, is the most positive thing for me that's come out of this whole crazy journey. He said, so we get done with service on Sunday, or close to the end of it, and my son says, Dad, I'm going to commit to putting $5 a week in for this campaign. Now, I'm a little taken back by this $5 a week, because that's a lot of money for him. He makes money for helping around the house, mowing the lawn, but he does not get an allowance. In a typical week, he probably makes $6. So I do the math, and I look at his pledge card, and I notice that it's a little more than $5 a week, and so I ask him about it. In fact, he says, I wondered if he really knew that his math was a little off. I mean, that's a logical question for a third grader, right? I mean, your math isn't on right there. I don't know if you know what you're doing here. He asks his kid about it, and he says, no, he knows that it's off from $5 a week. So the dad says, I ask him, where's this extra money going to come from? And because he doesn't have this much. And he looks at me square in the eye, the dad says, and says, Dad, sometimes you just have to take a risk. And the dad goes on and says, did that really happen? Ultimately, my son made a huge step in his personal faith through this crazy journey. And as a father, I was proud and touched by his unencumbered faith. He said, I almost said something about the amount being unreasonable and that he should reconsider what God's asking him to do. And then God spoke to me and said, wait a minute. Isn't this the faith that you want your son to have? Sometimes our job as parents is to get out of God's way and not muck up the good things he's trying to do for us. So dad wraps up and he says, so last week I sat on the front row and I shed some tears as I was touched about how God teaches my son and myself about his love and following his will and how risky that can be. And man, when I read that email, I'm like, this is crazy. I mean, crazy. And yet that's what God has called us to. In fact, take a look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, if I acted crazy, I did it for God. I mean, there have been people that have been telling me stories, things they're giving up, things they're considering sacrifice. I'm like, man, that's crazy. Are we in some way inappropriately, you know, putting a challenge on people? And yet we've said clearly, we're not manipulating, we're not guilting. And yet when God begins to move, man, people begin to do crazy, crazy things. He says, if I acted crazy, I did it for God. If I acted overly serious, I did it for you. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love is the first and last word in everything we do. You know, Crossman, are you ready to get crazy at this level? I mean, this is the beginning of a journey. While the journey wraps up next weekend, it really just begins. I mean, people around, in the name of love, in the name of saying, man, my life has been changed, and I want to pass that on to others, are getting crazy around here. Next Sunday, June 6th, the data is going to come in. It's our celebration weekend. And God knows how this is all going to get worked out. He wouldn't have called us to take this bold step if he didn't already have a plan for it. The question is going to be, are we going to be obedient and follow what God's asking us to do? It's going to take every one of us. And so we're asking you to bring a 3-year financial commitment. Be prepared to make a 3-year financial commitment next weekend as part of your saying, God, I'm bringing what you've asked me to do to the table. And we're challenging you, saying, you know, can you, in the spirit of some of the stories we've heard today, say, God, short of you showing up, I'm not going to be able to do this. And see what God does. And then we're also asking you to bring a one-time sacrificial gift that's kind of that one-time first fruits offering. This is above and beyond the tithe, above and beyond giving normally off your income that goes to just fund the normal activities here. This is above and beyond stuff here. And see what God does. You know, a really cool story I shared with you a couple weeks ago that I gave my Indy 500 ticket up today. I mean, I'm not going to the race today because that's something I love. I mean, it's been hard all month long. I love this thing. And it's been not just the financial thing, not just me giving up the dollar amount as part of my first fruits offering I'm bringing next weekend, but it's been an emotional thing of saying, God, there's something bigger going on in my life right now, and I'm turning my energy to that. In fact, one of my close friends, when I told him about it, because I told a few of my close friends I go with, I said, guys, I just need to prepare you. I'm not going to be going this year. What God's asked me to do. And they're like, hey, we're going to buy your ticket for you. And I'm like, well, they're like, it's a blessing. And I'm like, well, but the problem is I know that in my mind. I already know, and so it's not really sacrificial if I do that. So I went through this whole week. I struggled selling it, finally sold my ticket. And then through this week, some crazy things have happened. In fact, Friday, I got an email from somebody, another friend of mine. He said, hey, I know the crazy sacrifice you made. Somebody just blessed me with 2 tickets in the Tower Terrace, and I'm blessing you with them. I'm dropping them off at your house at 5 today. And I had to call him and say, man, I would love to use those, but it's not just about the money. And you don't know how much. I mean, I even thought in my mind, man, am I taking his blessing away by not allowing him to be generous with me? You know, and yet I said, you know, it's not just about the money. I mean, yeah, I'm turning that around as part of my first fruits, but it's about saying, God, you're doing something in me. And in this season, there's something bigger that I'm running after. And I had the tickets first hour, even showed them the first hour. Somebody first hour in the seats got to go to the race, and they're off right now. That's the benefit of coming to first hour, in case you ever wonder. You might get a gift. Man, there's crazy, crazy stuff happening. So go ahead and take out your connection cards. We're asking you a few next steps. You know, every week we have next steps. We say, you know, what's the next step, wherever we are in our journey, that we're willing to take today? A couple steps, you know. Will you have an open, honest conversation, if you haven't already done so, with God about what your 3-year financial commitment is going to be, or what your one-time first fruits offering is going to be, this crazy campaign, what you're going to bring to the table next week. If you haven't already done that, can you make that one of your next steps this week? We plan to attend the crazy celebration commitment weekend. We're looking for everybody connected to Crosspoint to celebrate with us next week. It's not just about bringing the card. It's about being a part of that day when God moves us and we prepare to take this next big step. I want to skip to the last one. You know, we've been talking about a lot of craziness, but, you know, I know for some of us, we've began to trust God through this journey. I mean, it's an amazing thing. We've seen people come to faith in Christ through saying, I'm going to trust God as my Lord and Savior. It's amazing how that happens regularly around here. Maybe you've never considered getting crazy wet for God and being baptized in the hundreds of gallons of water. We're going to have a tank in here in 2 weeks. And maybe as a part of you showing outwardly what's taking place inwardly in your life, you say, I want to at least have some info on baptism. Maybe you've never been baptized in water since you professed Christ. If that's where you're at, maybe that's a crazy step that you're interested in taking. Then lastly, the third one down, maybe what you can do this week is celebrate what God's done through this crazy journey. And if you haven't done that, I mean, I encourage you to just, if that's your step, then to just take a moment and write how you've grown and how you've changed. And be really honest, if you're sitting there thinking, man, I've been through this and I haven't changed at all, then all I can say is, man, I feel bad for you. I feel bad that you've invested all this time over the last few weeks and that God in some small way has not helped you take one step forward. So take out a pen and just take a few moments and say, you know, what's my next step? Ask God to reveal to you what the step is you can take this week. know, many of us know that today's Memorial Day weekend, and it's a season when, you know, we remember those who went before us, who paid this ultimate price for us. And ultimately, we experience the abundance of life here because others went before us and gave of their life. And, you know, it's just naturally a time when we think about freedom, we think about how free we are, how much we get to enjoy because others were willing to go before us. And in a real sense, that's what we're talking about with this crazy campaign. We were talking about this community right now going before others who are yet to come to know Christ. And they'll say, I was a part of bringing freedom to my community. Take a look at what the Apostle Paul says here in 1 Corinthians. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. You know, some of us refer to this as the Eucharist. Some of us know it as the Mass, the Communion, the Lord's Supper. But the bottom line is it was a supper. Jesus sat down with his friends and he had a meal. He had a full-blown meal. And you know, so many times, even here at Crosspoint, you know, we creatively will help us experience this, but we often take literally a thimble's worth of juice and the corner of a piece of bread. And it's a reminder. I mean, it's this physical reminder for us. But today, I want us to think about it differently. Because when we think about this, I mean, this is a God who said, I'm giving everything I have for you. I'm coming down. I'm lowering myself down from heaven to come in the form of flesh and love crashing into this world so that you can have all of me as I take all of your pain, all of your brokenness, everything in your life that isn't the way it's supposed to be on myself. And so that's what this meal is about. It's about God taking all of us on and giving us everything he has. And when we think about it, God is not one who gives us in a stingy way. I mean, unlike you and I mean, we're like, man, how much can I part with that doesn't cost much? God says, man, I bless you abundantly with everything I have. In fact, when it comes to God's grace, it never runs out. It's always abundant, it's always full, and it's always there to be received. And so today, we're gonna partake in this thing that connects us with those who have gone for thousands of years before us who are passionate about the heart of God. It's known as communion, the Lord's Supper. And we're going to invite you in a few moments, if this is where you are, to walk to the tables on the side of the auditorium and to see that there's a table full of bread. There's a table full of juice. The vats are full, and we want you to eat and drink until you're full, literally. I mean, if you want to stand there and just eat until you're full. I mean, this is not about a little taste. This is about experiencing that God is abundant in his giving. And if you've never done this before, you've never entered this relationship with Christ, this could be your first step, simply saying, God, I need that kind of grace that can cover all of me, that takes all of my brokenness, that where I receive all of your fullness and you begin to restore and renew my life as we share in the cup and in the bread. And so I invite you to stand with me and we're going to pray. Let's go ahead and stand and then we're going to partake and eat and drink until we're full. God, we thank you for this abundant love that you've offered to us, God. I mean, so many times we fail to grasp the significance of how generous you are to us. And yet this generous gift is still something that has to be received today, God. And so this is where we are. We're ready to receive it, God. We're going to share in this meal, and we're going to drink. We're going to eat until we're full, and we're going to taste and see how good you are. And so, God, in these next moments, just remind us of your abundance and all that you invite us to and all that you've given us in your name. As we sing, we invite you to share in the table.